I don't know if this is going to be a series or not, but I'm gonna try to go in a different direction. It's still going to be fall, maybe within predictive outcomes, but from a different angle. I really wanted to just, I wanted to encourage people, but the Lord got some stuff he put on my heart I want to share with you. Is that okay? And this year is supposed to be different for a lot of people, a lot of churches too. And they happen sparingly. That God put out sort of a clarion call to tell us what he wanted to do for us. And I think we make the mistake of thinking that it's automatic. That's a huge mistake. I say that's a huge mistake. I was upstairs this morning getting dressed, and this is what the Lord kind of dropped in my heart. He said to fight for your momentum. Fight to keep your momentum. She's gone now, but she always watched. I know Deaconess Avery always watched. I ain't sure all the children's people watch the sermons. I ain't sure none of you watch them. But y'all like more of the three-minute things for word of encouragement than the preach word on Sundays. But either way, that's your thing. That's your business. But he said to fight to keep your momentum. That shout was about her keeping her momentum. It's to ensure that you stay ahead of the devil. You got to stay ahead of the devil. If he catch you, he going to do bad stuff to you. Don't you be no dum-dum. If you let him catch you, he going to do some bad stuff to you. You have to keep your faith momentum going. And the way that you do that, he said, is you fight the good fight of faith. Say that three times. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. I'm always concerned about people that when they're going through and you tell them something like fight the good fight of faith, they don't want to hear that. I wonder why. I wonder why. And that's the instrument that God has given us in this dimension to change a lot of stuff for yourself. But they don't want to hear that. They want to hear that, you know, preach to the problem or whatever the case may be. He said, this year is a scheduled appointed time for you. So he talking to me. That this year is a scheduled appointed time for you and the people of God. You must live, walk by faith, walk in obedience to me, and you have to purify your hearts and your life. And the Lord is saying, I'll do incredible stuff for you. Now, you have to live by faith. You have to walk by faith. You have to purify your heart. Because a lot of times we ignore what's going on in our heart. I'll try to deal with this as I get a chance. We ignore what's really going on in our heart. And do you know something? Unless God reveal your heart to somebody, they don't know. But he knows. He knows when our heart ain't right. And we can't ignore these things. We got to be sensitive to what God is trying to do in this hour. I said this on Wednesday, and I could have pointed the people out. You just choose not to embarrass people because you know they know. That probably since in October, beginning November, the devil been trying to lure them out. Lure him out. If he gets you out the church, you know, people say, I just don't go to church. I'm still with God. I just don't go to church. Mm-hmm. Are you sick? You shut in? Why are you avoiding environments where God speaks to all his people? Yeah. Why you been out? You working? Nope. Sick? Nope. Why didn't you come? I just ain't been feeling like it. But they be wanting God to move. I want to talk from this triggering the blessings of God for your life. And with this thought, reasoning with the Lord. Do you know there's some, Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, I decrease that you may increase. I ask for anointing. I ask for utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know some people you can't reason with? Have you ever lived with anybody like that? Ain't nobody gonna raise their hand, mother. Some people you can't reason with. Sometimes you see people dealing with law enforcement and the person is obviously trying to reason with them, can't reason with them. And then it turned bad, and sometimes people only post what they want you to see, but they cut out the part where the person was trying to reason with them. And it escalated to a situation to where it was just bad for everybody. Let me tell you something. Don't nobody that's not a killer want to kill nobody. Do you hear me? I should tell these young soldiers, I done been out there. I said, you don't want to kill nobody. It changed you. A portion of you die when you kill. You don't want to kill nobody. Right? That's why you don't want to be strapped all the time with guns, because the devil will put you in situations where you wind up killing. You'll get a thirst. I don't know why I'm going this way. You'll get a thirst for blood, and before you know it, you done killed somebody. Change your whole life. How many know it's just easier just to believe God to steer you around trouble than to walk around trying to always protect yourself from trouble? He'll protect you. He'll guide you around trouble. In Psalms 1, I'm going to try to paint a picture. He says, blessed are the undefiled in their way. Triggering the blessings of the Lord for your life. I don't know if it's a series or not. With this thought, reasoning with the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the word of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies or his commandments, his word, and that they seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They don't practice iniquity. They don't respond to every sin that's in them. Iniquity is darkness within people. And iniquity always targets your heart. Because don't nobody really know until you open your mouth or do something, iniquity will keep working, because it doesn't matter whether you do it or not. If it's working on the inside of you, the results are the same. This is why Jesus says, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart, because iniquity was already working in him. And if he could have got to her, he would have did it. So it's just like he did it already. But this iniquity on the inside of us, we ignore it, and it'll penetrate our thoughts. It'll start messing with our thought life. It'll start messing with our conscience. It'll start driving us, and we start thinking a certain way all times a day, all day long, all week long. Say, don't let the devil drive you, because the devil is the person that drives iniquity. We keep it going, but he puts it there. He says they walk in his ways, not God's ways. They're walking in. He says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Keep the word diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed. This is interesting, because this God's man, and he's talking from a standpoint, oh, that my ways were directed. The steps of a good man are what? Directed by the Lord. But if you choose to go another way, God will let you go that way. All the jams we get in, say, follow the Lord. He says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. He says, I'll praise thee with the upright of heart. See, let me just say this. So like the music never going to be blaring no more. It hurt my ears. It's never gonna be overpowering that. So like, if they cut this speaker up really, really loud, and I stand in front of it, I can feel the vibrations from it. Do you know what it'll do? It'll push my flesh. Simply by proximity, it'll push your flesh. And what's happened to some of the capacity is that the sound has been so loud that sometimes we think we entering into the presence of God, but we don't be. It be pushing our flesh. So we'll get a feeling, but we're not where God wants us to be. No, he wants you to open up your mouth. He wants you to clap your hands. He wants us to do. And see, a lot of times, if all that's absent and you're trying to create, I'm just going to make sense if you just hang with me. And you're trying to create a worship experience, a person, watch this, that is not walking upright before God, they're going to have a hard time praising God. So you got to keep pushing their flesh. That's why churches are not this church. They turn it into circuses because you always have to try to find a way to push somebody's flesh. Ooh-wee, I like it like this. You always got to be trying to entertain them. Push them. Why? Because they're not walking up right before him, and so therefore they feel some kind of way trying to praise God. Right. I'm going somewhere. He says, I'll praise thee with the upright. He says, when I have learned thy righteous judgments, I'll keep thy statutes, or forsake me not utterly. What is he doing right there? He's basically telling God, or praying to God to help him with total obedience, to be committed to total obedience. Say total obedience. Now, you have to totally ignore and just willfully disobey God to miss it. Everybody miss it. You have to totally ignore God and be walking in disobedience to miss it. You got the Holy Ghost. And God is always trying to make sure that you get it. I mean, he do almost everything to make sure we get it. And you'll find many times people, it's obvious that they missed it. And it's because we've ignored God somehow. And or walked in disobedience to him. Do you know there are times where we get in these situations solely because God wants you to have victory. Thanks be unto God who gives you. He's trying to give it to you. And people find a way to mess it up. How do you mess it up? Ignoring God, acknowledge him in two people. Acknowledge him in. So when I want to do what I want to, I don't acknowledge God. I don't ask him, is this the right woman for me? This the right man for me? This the right job for me? I don't want to know. She fine. Right? I don't want to know if this is the right job. It pays more. Right? And the whole time, the devil be setting us up. He know your taste. And he'll put somebody in that job that's your flavor. The devil will to pull you down. Because he know that if you're not going to acknowledge God, you're going to respond to that flavor. May not even be what God wants you to have. But we don't acknowledge him because we don't. So I want to know, though. We don't acknowledge him because we don't want to know. Mm-hmm. The older you get, though, you do want to know. I'm going to tell you God's honest truth. Because you realize, you know, you don't, at some stages of your life, you don't even look for no whole bunch of do-overs. You got to get it right now. Yeah. When you look at this passage, though, and he's saying that to God, one of the things that he's talking about, say, do y'all really want to know today? I just want to find out. Do you want to know what God want to say? Because there's a whole bunch of disobedience going on. And people be wanting God to do all this stuff. And they know what he wants. They read it. If nobody preach it to you and you ain't read it, if you really saved, you done heard it. Because God will tell you. How do you miss it? Totally ignoring God or just flat out disobeying him. I've missed it in my life. It was things I didn't want to know. I wanted what I wanted. It didn't work out. It wasn't the devil's fault. Whose fault was it? So watch this. Your heart has to be right, because when God is trying to do something in us, a lot of the times our happiness and our joy stems from the fact, or the absence of it, is that we won't obey God's word. And it's better to obey God than to call ourselves sacrificing for God. Let's look at some scriptures. Throughout the whole Bible, God talks about he wants to bless his people. He blesses and he rewards obedience. Genesis 22:18, God promised to bless Abraham, all his household, all his descendants, because Abraham obeyed him. Surely I'll bless you and I'll multiply you and your offsprings as the stars of the heaven, as the sand that's in the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gates of the enemy. He says, and your offspring shall all the nations of the earth bless. Why? Because you have obeyed my voice. All the nations gonna bless you, Abraham, because you have obeyed my voice. So why is God going through this whole rigmarole to bless this man? Because obedience is important to God. I'm going to rush because I want to get to some other stuff. Luke 11:28, Jesus said this. Jesus said, those who hear me, hear his word, will obey it. He says, and they will be even more blessed. So there's degrees of being blessed in reward based off some people's willing to obey God. There's levels of blessings. So you heard me say many times that when you see somebody, when you see God doing something for somebody that he's not doing for you, they doing something to trigger that. They obeying God in areas that you're not obeying God. When you see God economically doing something for people that he ain't doing for you, they doing something that you're not doing. When you see a marriage go to another level and yours is struggling, they doing something that you're not doing. When you see a man with a woman that you don't think she deserves, she did something before heaven that God allowed her to capture his attention that you're not doing. Say obedience to God is important. Why is it important? I said this a couple weeks ago. Obedience is important because obedience is worship. Obedience is worship. So in Romans 1, you look at it, I'll show it to you. I'm not trying to shout you. That's people's problem. That's 90% of the church problem. That's all they want to do. And they life be ate up. Families be ate up. Because they won't listen to nobody but they self and the devil. So obedience is an act of worship. So watch this. When you obey God, you're worshiping him. When you obey Satan, worshiping the devil. This is why when Jesus is on up there on that mountain, if he come out the wilderness, Satan is trying to get him to obey him. Jump. Eat. Turn it into bread. Because he knows that if Jesus does this, he's worshiping him. So I'll show it to you. I think it's Romans 6 and 16. Put that up there first. Romans 6 and 16. Paul is talking to them, and he starts saying something. He says, "Know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether unto sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness." He says, he's basically saying, whoever you serve or you're a slave to, you're worshiping him. Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." He's talking about when you present your body a living sacrifice, that means when God, you go into the store and God say, "Hey, get off behind that woman watching her like that." And you do it, you're worshiping God. When God tell you, when you're tempted to sin, And God say, "Don't go to that club. Don't hang out with that person. Don't do it." You're worshiping God now. But we don't see that like worship. That's the pinnacle of worship, is when we obey God. And so he says, "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world. Change the pattern of your thinking, be renewed by your mind, that you can prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God." Say, this is the only way you can worship God. So we've been taught what? To fall out at the altar. We've been taught to lift up holy hands. Nobody teach us how to obey. Say, obey God. And the Lord dropped in my heart, woman of God, he said that people think they are worshiping me because they pray. He said, but they will not obey. So they get up out of prayer. God tell them what to do. I don't know why they went in prayer. They weren't going to do it anyway. They knew they was going to do exactly. So what would happen? Their prayer is a ritual. It's just something to do, watch this, for them to feel spiritual. But how are you going to feel spiritual if he withdraw his spirit from you? Right. How you feeling spiritual and he not talking to you? You know it's a bad place to be when God won't talk. When God refused to talk, he said, "We speak in tongues to move heaven or for heaven to speak." And when he does speak, God said, "They will not obey me." They will. But ooh, if we'll obey God. I say, if we'll obey God, God will not only open up the heavens and speak, God will reach down from heaven and God will move. Anybody want God to move? Well, if we want God to move, well, we have to be obedient to him. All we want to do is lay out at somebody's altar trying to convince you that we're in a place that we're not. All we want to do is speak in tongues or function in some gift and won't listen to God. How many know we're in a season where we better listen to God? I say we're in a season where you better start listening to God. Shut people out, especially if the blind can't lead the blind. If your life is ate up as mine, I'm not listening to nothing you got to say. If we're doing the same stuff, why am I supposed to be listening to you? Say, it's time to come up. So obedience is worship. Go to Isaiah 1. Because there are things that you can do to trigger the blessing. God wants a blessing this season. Not just talk about it. You can actually get it. People can actually recover things that's been lost. They can fix their families if they want to. The truth of it is, it could have been fixed a long time ago. Neither one of y'all would listen to God. You won't obey God. Economically, you could have came out long time ago. Right? But y'all was fighting over whether you was going to sow in church or not. So you wasn't scattering seed. And you showed up at a season and you ain't got nothing standing there because you didn't plant a seed. There ain't no harvest without a seed. But we wouldn't obey. Sit right here, wouldn't listen. Preacher ain't trying to get nothing from you. Won't obey God. Totally healed. Could have been totally healed. Tell you what to do. Won't do it. Won't do it. But if the doctors say do it, we do that. He wants you to stay sick. See, just because somebody demonstrate bedside manners don't mean that they really want you healed. It's an act. They're not trying to heal you. They need your Medicaid, Medicare, or your insurance card number. They don't want you. God wants you healed, though. So why wouldn't you fast when he was telling you to fast? Do you know there's a reason why people who fast at least a couple times a week live 7 to 13 years longer than people who don't? But you would rather shorten your life by disobeying the things God say and listen to somebody who's just trying to get your Medicaid, Medicare, or your Blue Cross Blue Shield number. Say, obey God. Because you can't reason with him. Isaiah 1. He says, come now, 18, let us reason together, says the Lord. Who said that? He says, though your sins be as scarlet, he says, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Everybody say, cleansing of sin, righteousness restored. Say, clean sin, righteousness restored, breakthroughs flow. You can have an altar call every time you meet at church, and you'll have some people that still won't come. I've had altar calls. I've opened up altar calls before for the group, but it was really to hide one person. Meaning God let other people in on the breakthrough, but it was really just to protect them so that they didn't stand out like a sore thumb. Do you know what? They wouldn't come. They didn't come. They wouldn't come. Why? Because sometimes you can't reason with people. Even when God's trying to hide you, you can't reason with them. Do you know there are people that you counsel? Mother, there are people sometimes I counsel. And you're a woman of God. You're a God-fearing woman. But you can be talking to somebody, and you're talking, and you can see them unhook. And the minute that you stop, wherever they stop talking at, they're going to pick back up because they just, out of a courtesy, stopped to let you talk, but they was not listening to you because you can't reason with them. How many times have people come to church and they unhook through the whole preach word because they just want to pick back up where they left off? How many know that God is saying, dust yourself off, open up your mind and receive rich deposits on the day? Your life will change. Your marriage will change. Your body could be healed. Your money situation can change. Say, come, let's reason together. Mm-hmm. So, that'll preach on it. So, until people come to Jesus, with their sins, nothing is going to change in their life. Do you know that? Christians. Faith is progressive, meaning that you're going to always be tempted to sin. Sometimes you give in with it. When you do it, you just don't forget about it. You have to get it cleansed so righteousness can be restored, that blessings could flow. If you got blessings that are blocked in your life, we're going to pull the plug today. The Holy Ghost is going to get it to you. You just got to stay open to it. But they act like Nothing's going on. They won't move. And so nobody pays attention. This is what God put in my heart, mother, until extreme external circumstances start happening in their life sometime. They won't listen to nothing but that. I have people call me sometime from jail. I've witnessed to them many times. I witnessed to them many of times. They wouldn't listen. But now they seem to be open. It don't take all that. I witnessed to them many of times. By the Holy Ghost, not flesh, they wouldn't listen. They needed extreme circumstances. I've ministered to young women. They wouldn't listen. They needed extreme circumstances. Talk to people economically. They wouldn't listen. How many know it's time to listen up and to obey? I say it's time to listen and obey. What's the point in listening to a preached word that you're not going to do? A shout? That's it? That's all you get? Say, I'm going to reason with the Lord. He said, many churches will let anything go and everything go, mother, until they can't get the Spirit to move. Do you know what happens? Everybody who joined your church ain't joining your church because they love your church. Some people are being implanted. And they'll try to weaken an area to get in, to make you compromise in an area to let the enemy in. And we have to be conscious. Say, don't let the devil infiltrate your life. You got to be able to close him out. Is this too simple for you? You don't let him infiltrate. You watch. You listen. You look. He said, but they'll let anything go on until they can't get the Spirit of God to move. Say, we're not going to do that here. Ungodly leadership. People see it. They keep coming. They keep coming. They won't stop. That's why a lot of people buy their own church. Preach Holy Ghost. Because can't nobody evict them. If I buy it and it's mine, it ain't God's. Say amen or oh my. If it's my church, it ain't God's church. So they'll let ungodly things go on right there in the leadership, or they doing it, and they don't say nothing. And many times, they can't say nothing to the people because they, in many cases, worse than the congregants. And then we be saying, why won't God move? Because God say, you bought that church. That's not my church. I've been standing at the door knocking for years. You won't even open the door. That's not my house. God is the head of my life. God is the head of my house. God not the head of that house. You bought that house. God won't. You won't even let God in that house. You do things your way and try to act like God is doing it. No, that's your house. You want God to do it, then do it his way. You want God to do it, wake up and pray together. You want God to do it? Lay hands on your children. You want God to do it? Whoop your kids when they need a whooping. Well, you want God to do it? Pay your tithes. You want God to do it? Stop watching everything. Make it God's house. Take out the altar. Tear down the altars. Pull them out the house. Burn them in the trash can. Take the stuff out off your computer. Throw the books away. Stop watching and listening to ungodly things. Pour the alcohol down the trash. Take the marijuana and throw it away. Nope, it's God's house. It ain't God's house. That's your house. Stop letting anybody come over there. That's my family. They bring unrighteous, unholy spirits in there. Talk to them at the door and send them on their own way. They too influential in your life. I didn't marry my wife's family. I married her. She didn't marry my family. She married me, and therefore I don't have to let them affect my life, and she don't have to let her family of my family affect her life. I didn't marry her. I married her. I'm only responsible for her. See, we allow people to just get back in because we got the same last name. If God said put them out, put them out. If God say walk away from them. If God say stop talking to them, stop talking to them. This too much for some of y'all. I can see it all over your face. Say, come let us reason together. You can't reason with people in church no more. All they want is candy. All they want is God to bless them. Get your lazy tail up and go get a job. All they want is God to give them something. They don't want to be no righteous woman. They want to control their men. They don't want to be no wholesome man. They just want to dominate her. She won't listen to you because you won't follow God. Say, come, let's reason together. If you'll do it God's way, God will get involved. But he's not going to get involved because you do your own stuff. You know why your body ain't healed? Because it's your body. It's supposed to be the temple of the Lord, but yet you'll put anything in it, you'll do anything to it, you'll say, come, let's reason together. Give the Lord a good hand of praise. He said this morning to let somebody know, this is your invitation. This is your invitation to come reason with him. He says he wants to bless you. He desires to heal you. He wants to restore your life, but you're going to reason with him. And God said, I don't even listen to your arguments. Tell me why you didn't do it. Tell me why you refused to do what I told you to do. Come, let's reason together. He said, but before I listen to you and after I listen to you, brother, he says, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to my thoughts. I want you to hear what I say, because here's the thing about reasoning and God reasoning with you. You're never going to change God's mind. You don't know enough to change God's mind. He can change your mind, though. He knows your ending from your beginning. He knows you before you began. God already knew you. You're not going to change God's mind. You're not going to talk God down. But God said, I'll listen to your arguments. I'll listen to why you refuse to obey me. I'll listen to why you refuse to submit or live holy. I'll listen to all of that, but then say, I'm going to listen to you next, God. Reason with people. He's trying to reason with the church. God trying to reason with his church. Because his church don't have to get caught up in stuff. But they are. All around the world, all around the country. And some of it is because we've tried to pass ministry off to our children. I don't get to pick my successor. Heaven does. She don't get to take over for me because she's my daughter. Say, this ain't no family business. You don't get to pick the successor. God does. So they give it to some unrighteous kid. In many cases, it's solely because they're trying to hide their improprieties. So they pass it off to somebody that'll keep it silent rather than somebody say, all this stuff was wrong, we're going to fix this. All this stuff was wrong, we're going to fix this. All this stuff was wrong, we're going to yield to the Lord. Say, we're going to yield to the Lord around here. Why you keep hiding it? And that's one of the main problems. That people be hiding stuff. And then they mingle back in. They hiding stuff. And then they mingle back in. But I mean, no, God sees everything. I say God sees everything. And so this is what he said to me. This is what he put in my heart. He says, when you need my help, when you need my deliverance, when you need me to take on your case, the Bible said that God is our advocate. Jesus is our advocate, that he sits on the right hand of the Father pleading our case. But he says, sometime when you want me to take on your case, if I'm going to represent you as your attorney, you have to tell me the truth. And that means that sometimes you got to plead guilty. You got to take up. You got to plead guilty to me. You got to tell me what you really did. You can't come in here and give me no faulty information or talk around in circles. I'm God, and I know what you did, but I'm not going to take your case and plead it before my Father until you plead guilty of what you've done. And when you plead guilty for what you've done, then I'll represent you. I'll use my blood to wash you and cleanse you and free you. But as long as you think you ain't done nothing wrong, how can I represent you? I'm a God of integrity. I'm an attorney of integrity. I can't take your case. I know it. Tell somebody, if you want God to represent you, plead guilty to him. All have sinned. I say all have sinned. Say plead guilty first. Act like we ain't done nothing. God, I need you to move. I can't figure out why God won't move. I've been praying. Plead guilty first. Tell God, yeah, I did this. Yeah, it was me. Yeah, I thought it. Yeah, I did it. Yeah. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to take that case. He's going to plead that blood. And the minute that Satan stands up and starts accusing you, God has said, case dismissed. I see my blood. I see my blood. He's already been free. The minute that you get it out, God does something with that. But as long as you act like you ain't did nothing, what is he to do? That's many people's problem. He says, as long as you keep justifying what you did, he says, I'm not taking your case. I'm not taking your case. See, we got to admit what we did. Try to help people. You can't. Because what's happened? What's happened, mother? They have no fault religion now. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. No fault religion. I want the breakthrough. I didn't do nothing. It ain't my fault that the marriage failed. It ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. Then whose fault is it? Somebody gonna take ownership of this before God take any response. Say somebody gonna take responsibility for it first. Grab your Bibles and go to. Let's keep reading. And verse number, let's go back to 19. He says, if you're willing and obedient, he says, then you'll eat the good of the land. Not the good of heaven. Because I'm talking about triggering the blessing. Not the good. He said, you're going to eat the good of the land. Right? This is how you trigger blessings in your life. He said you have to be what? See, this is where people make their mistake at, Michelle. They do things that God tell them to do, but they ain't willing to do it. They don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. You don't get no credit. You did it. You didn't want to do it. You weren't willing to do it. Therefore, you don't eat the good of the land. You did it. He says, but if you refuse and obey, you shall be devoured by the sword for the mouth. Who said this? Who said it? The mouth of the Lord did what? If you refuse to do and you rebel. You know, a lot of time, mother, people think they hurt me if they rebel. I'm just the messenger. They may hurt me, but not like they think. they not hurt me like they think. I'm not going to do it. Who they hurting? They're not hurting the preacher. He gets his reward. He's just the mailman. He's just the mailman. He don't lose his reward. Heaven still opens up for him. He don't lose nothing. Who loses their reward? They lose the reward. The person loses the reward. Because they now they seeking God about why it won't move, and God says, you weren't willing and obedient. You wasn't willing, and obedient. You have to be willing. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. If reveals that sometimes there are conditions on God moving in your life. God set conditions on some things for him to move. Now, I tried to explain this on Wednesday. You know, I believe, and the Bible is clear, that you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. No works. Baptism don't save you. No works. Lobbying for the Holy Spirit or baptism of the Holy Spirit, that don't save you. No works. Only the finished work of Jesus. But then there are some things in the Bible that God says, if condition. If condition. We don't like conditions, though. But we want the blessing. If you got money in the bank, you can go and withdraw it. If you don't, yeah. So get out them people's face. You knew you didn't have none when you went up in there. Up there filling out all that paperwork, messing with them people. He says, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the Lord has spoken it. So how do you qualify for the good of the land? Help me out. I'm trying to drill it. I'm trying to drill it. How do you qualify for the good of the land? Come to church. No, willing and obedient to what God has said. He said to tell somebody that as you continue to be willing and obedient to him, that he's going to shift your life into a different level. But you're not going to get there without obedience. Your gifts are becoming stagnant. The next level is about you being responsive to him, that you listen to him, that you do it his way. And you know what's happened? I can almost tell you. You're trying to work it like it's always worked, but it won't work like that no more. As you're obedient and willing, say, I'm going to another place in God. Can y'all take 5 minutes? I'm trying to find a place where I can stop. So if you're not enjoying the good of the land, what's happening? Is this plain enough? Don't explain this away. Don't explain this away. Because God go out of his way to make sure his people blessed. He go out of his way to make sure that you get it. And the Bible is clear right here that we're not enjoying it because we have to qualify and we refuse to qualify. Say, God, qualify me today. Say, God, qualify me today in Jesus' name. So there are times in our life where we are obedient to God, not willing. Of course we are. Do you know what the Bible says in Genesis 22? I've read some of the earlier. When Abraham is with that boy, he was willing and obedient. He was going, if he needed to kill him, he was going to kill him. He served the resurrection. God can get him back up. But I'm going to obey God. Sometimes, let's just use resources. We won't give the last because we don't see that it's triggering something bigger. And God is saying, you can't eat the good because you won't be obedient with that. I sat in church one time, and the night before, I only had $20. I had to get back to work. I only had $20. And guess what they wanted? I just told you I didn't have no money. I had $20, though. The next, I gave it. And the next day, I stumble across, I wound up getting, I think at the, this is 2002, 2001, like $950. And you say, that was going to come anyway. No, it might have came later, but I need to be obedient to trigger it. The next day, I was able to get my hands. So come on, Jesus. Your obedience is going to open up a floodgate for you. Your obedience is going to take some of you in the land of good and plenty. Your obedience is going to heal that relationship. Be slow to divorce court. Your obedience is going to heal that. The problem was you ain't been listening to God. God going to fix it, though. Say, come on, Jesus. So he's talking about, he says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, I'm going to end right here, and I'll pick back up. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, 2 Corinthians 8:9. Let's just stop right there. How about that? Yeah, let's just stop right there. Because you see my finger? Y'all can't take all that. You don't want all that today. And if I read it, my spirit open up. Come on, let's stand and give the Lord. So I'm going to be willing and obedient. I'm going to eat the fat of the land. So I'm going to be willing and obedient. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to change my thought life. I'm going to move when God say move with the right type of spirit. And therefore, God is going to move on my behalf. Nothing will he withhold from me if I walk upright before him. Holy Spirit, help me to obey you in the face of fear. Holy Spirit, help me to be obedient to you when I don't see the way forward. I believe that you're willing to bless me. I believe that you're willing to heal me. In Jesus' name.